I'm going to call this, Give Me a Baby. Give Me a Baby. Genesis chapter 20. Actually, verses 20 through 26. I'm sorry, Genesis 25. Genesis 25. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, If it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all the mothers that are here today. Lord, I just pray a blessing upon them today. May they feel special. May they feel honored today. Your word says that we are to give honor to whom honor is due, and certainly honor is due them. And Lord, again, we just pray a blessing over them in Jesus' name. Amen. The annual number of births in the world is roughly estimated at 95 million, or 3 babies every second. 3/5 of the births are in Asia, 1/5 in Europe, 1/10 in Africa and the Americas. The average weight at birth for boys is 7 and almost 8 pounds, and for girls, about 7 1/4 pounds. The average length at birth is 20.5 inches for boys and 20 inches for girls. The heaviest newborn child in modern times was a boy born in Turkey in 1961 that weighed 24 pounds and 4 ounces. Yeah, how would you like to have delivered that one, ladies? The lowest weight surviving newborn child was a baby born in England in 1938. It was a little girl that weighed 10 ounces and was 12 inches long. Someone has given a definition of a baby this way. A baby is a small member of the home that makes love stronger, days shorter, nights longer, the bank account smaller, clothes shabbier, the home happier, and the future worth living for. Someone has said there are 6 great days in the life of an individual that lives a normal life. The first great day is when one is born. The second great day is when one is saved. The third great day is when one is married. The fourth great day is when the first child is born. The fifth great day is when the first grandchild is born. The sixth and last great day is when one goes home to be with the Lord. Now, in our scripture, we see that Isaac and Rebekah had experienced the first 3 great days of their life, but they were having difficulty experiencing the next great day, the birth of a baby. And it appears that they both wanted a baby very badly. So they were crying out to the Lord to give them a baby. And from this story, I'd like to consider a few thoughts this morning. The first is, let's consider the barren mother. We read in Genesis chapter 25 and verse 21, And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. As you look at the scriptures, you see a number of ladies who were barren. There was Sarah, Rachel, Hannah, Manoah's wife, and Elizabeth. And we could also add Rebekah's name to this list. And when we think about barrenness, we'll think about, first of all, the problem of physical barrenness. I don't know why this is not advancing today, guys. Maybe you can keep up with me from back there. How about that? We'll try that. The word barren means sterile, unable to conceive. And so here's a couple that wanted to have a baby, but they couldn't. My heart has always went out to couples who wanted to have children and for some reason weren't able to do so. But not only was there the problem of physical barrenness, sometimes among Christians, it is a picture of spiritual barrenness. Often physical barrenness in the Bible is a picture of spiritual barrenness. And as the bride of Christ, the church, we are to be a fruitful bride. We have this relationship with Jesus, and He wants us to be fruitful for Him, to bear spiritual children for Him. In fact, everyone that is saved ought to have spiritual children. We read in Romans chapter 7 and verse 4, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." And so, Paul is using the analogy here, using the relationship that we have with Christ to say that we, as a spiritual relationship with Him, we need to have spiritual children. We ought to have people being saved because of the fruitfulness of us living the Christian life. In 1877, evangelist A.G. Upman was leading a series of meetings in a church in New England. One night in his sermon, he told the true story of a young man who, a month after being saved, was severely injured in an automobile accident or in an accident. As the seriousness of his condition became evident, one of his Christian friends who was at his bedside asked him if he was afraid to die. He replied, "Friend, no, I am not afraid to die, for Jesus has saved me. But I have not been able to lead even one soul, such as I was, to Christ in the time I have known Him. No, I am not afraid to die, but must I go and empty-handed?" The pastor of the church where C.C. Luther was C.C. Luther, and when Upman told the story, Luther's heart was gripped, and right in the service, he took a piece of paper, and he began to write down the lines of a hymn. I don't know if you've heard this hymn. My family and I, we have sung this hymn from time to time, just in our family altar times. But it's called, "Must I Go and Empty-Handed?" "Must I go and empty-handed, this my dear Redeemer meet? Not one day of service give Him, lay no trophy at His feet. Must I go and empty-handed, must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet Him, must I empty-handed go." If we could somehow feel how Rebecca and Isaac felt in not having been able to have a child, maybe we could get some kind of idea about how God feels when His children don't want to reproduce and don't have spiritual children. You see, we are found to find others. We are told so that we can tell others. We have been won so that we can win others. We are saved to save others. We are to be fruitful. So there's the problem of the barren mother. Secondly, I want to look at the burdened mother. Again, notice in Genesis chapter 25 and verse 21, "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren." Now, it doesn't specifically state so, but we get the idea that this mother is a burdened mother. It was a matter of concern so much that it became a matter of praying, entreating, intense kind of prayer. And the same way, spiritual barrenness should create a spiritual burden. Now, if we are spiritually barren, what could we do? What could we do? The first thing is we could aspire for a child. Aspire to have a child. To lead somebody to Christ. To bring a newborn Christian into this world. George Barna found that only 1/4, 27% of adults say they are always mindful of being Christ representatives. This is kind of interesting. You know, we're here as Christ's ambassadors. We're here to be witnesses. We are representatives of Christ on earth. And George Barna found that only 27% of adults are mindful that we are Christ's representatives here on earth. 1/6 or 17% say they are often unaware of that. And 1/4 are sometimes conscious of that privilege. The remaining 30% claim they rarely or never think of themselves in this light. USA Today on September 19th, back a few years, 1997, gave these statistics on how people use free time. They said that adults average 39.4 hours free time per week. That was actually up from 34.8% in 1965. But according to the article, here is how people use their free time. Watching TV, 15 hours. Socializing, which is visiting others, sharing meals together, going to parties, 6.7 hours. Communicating through phone, mail, talk. I wonder what this would be now that there's text messaging and things like that. But 4.4 hours a week. Reading, 2.8 hours. Spending time with their hobby, 2.7 hours. Spending time in education, 2.2 hours. Spending time doing recreation or playing sports, 2.2 hours. Spending time in a group setting, 1.2 hours. Attending cultural events, 0.9 hours. Religion, 0.9. Listening to the radio or other recordings, and again, with the addition of iPods and things like that, I wonder if this hasn't gone up, 0.4. So what it's saying is that 30% of those in this country who profess to be saved are rarely thinking about Christ, rarely thinking about being His representative here on earth. When it comes to our free time, only 9% of that time is given to religion. Billy Sunday told a story about walking down the street with a man and asked him, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "No, sir, I am not." Sunday said that he talked to him about being saved and tried to get him to give his heart to Christ, but the man would not. And Sunday asked him, "Are your father and mother alive?" He said that they were both alive. So Sunday asked, "Is your father a Christian?" The man answered, "I don't know. He's a steward in the church, has been for several years." "Is your mother a Christian?" "I don't know. She has been superintendent of the Sunday school of the same church for some time." "Do you have a sister?" "Yes, sir." "Is she a Christian?" "I don't know. She has been a primary teacher in the Sunday school department." "Did your father and mother or sister ever ask you to become a Christian?" "Mr. Sunday, as long as I can remember, my father or mother or sister never said a word to me about my soul." "Do you believe they think I am lost?" Sunday said he could not answer him. We need to talk to people about Jesus. Simply to ask them, "Are you a Christian? Are you saved? Do you know the Savior?" Even those sometimes closest to us in our own families, we don't witness to them. We don't share our faith. We don't ask them, "Would you be like to become a Christian?" The first thing that we can do then is, after having a burden to have a spiritual child, is to aspire for a child. The second thing is to agonize for a child. When you read about the barren women in the Bible, you see them agonizing, wanting to have children so badly, so much so that they agonize over that. In Genesis chapter 30 and verse 1, it says, "And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, Give me children or else I die." She was agonizing over this fact. And then I think of Hannah, who went into the temple and poured her heart out to the Lord, asking God, begging God to give her a child, promising God that if He would give her a boy, she would in turn give him back so that he could serve the Lord all the days of his life. And we read in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10, "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore." The wife of John Knox awoke one night to find her husband not in bed. She found him on the floor weeping and pouring his heart before God. When she asked him to come to bed, he replied, "How can I sleep when the souls of Scotland know not God?" A father to be was, ladies, you'll like this story. A father to be was pacing back and forth, wringing his hands in the hospital corridor some years back while his wife was in labor. Now, today, you get to go in with your wives. But you remember, how many of you remember the time when you couldn't go in with your wife when she was having a baby? Quite a few of you. So here's this husband. He's tied up in knots. There's all kinds of fear and anxiety. The beads of perspiration dropping from his brow revealed the agony of his suffering. Finally, at 4 a.m., a nurse popped out of a door and said, "Well, sir, you have a little girl." He dropped his hands, became limp, and said, "Oh, how I thank God it's a girl. She'll never have to go through the awful agony I've had tonight." There will be some agonizing if we are going to have children. And thirdly, let me say that we must be asking for a child. Aspiring for a child, agonizing for a child, asking for a child. Verse 21 tells us that Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. The word simply means to pray or intercede. He prayed, he asked God to touch her womb, and God healed it. I'll never forget the time that a couple came to us. They were married later in life, and they were unable to have children. Doctor told them it was medically impossible for them to have children. They said to Debbie and I, "We know that you believe in the family and love children, so would you just anoint us and pray for us that we could have a child?" And we had the privilege of doing that, the joy of doing that. And it was just a short time later that she got pregnant, wound up having twins, Daniel and Samuel. So what God answers prayer. I believe that God can heal the womb and open the womb. If he chooses not to, that's his choice. I know, and my heart goes out to parents that want to have children but can't. But in this particular case, God heard their prayer, and God answered their prayer. Isaac entreated God. God, it says, entreated Isaac. It just means that God answered his prayer and touched the womb. We need to pray for God to allow us to have spiritual children, that we wouldn't be spiritually barren. We need to pray and ask God to make us fruitful. Again, I think of Hannah. She went to the temple. Eli, the priest, found her on the floor with her face to the ground. Her lips were moving when she raised her head, but there was really no sounds coming from her that made sense. Eli thought she was drunk. She wasn't drunk. She was just interceding and asking God to make her fruitful, to give her a child. Hannah said to him in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 15, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." She was asking God to heal her of her barrenness and to give her a child. And that's exactly what God did. And when she had weaned the child, she brought him back to the temple, back to the place where he could serve God all the days of his life. A newspaper carried an ad that read, "Father of three sons desires a daughter. Can anyone send suggestions?" There were more than 1,000 replies, including one from an American whose advice was, "Keep trying." You know, and that's what we need to do, is to keep trying as a church, as individuals, keep trying to be fruitful to the Lord. Just doing what we can do and leaving the rest up to God, but doing our part, aspiring for a child and agonizing for a child and asking God for a child. And lastly, think with me of a blessed mother. Notice the rest of the story. We hear God heard his prayer. We see that God heard his prayer. Verse 21 tells us that not only did Isaac entreat the Lord, but that the Lord was entreated of him. It's the same word, but it's just used in an upside down way. Simply said, the Lord heard him. And when we aspire for spiritual fruit and agonize for spiritual fruit and ask God for spiritual fruit, guess what? We can be fruitful. He'll allow us to be fruitful. James Alexander Stewart, in his book Invasion of Wales by the Spirit, wrote, "Deep spiritual awakenings, whether in local churches or in whole countries, begin with desperate people like Hannah. God only answers prayers of desperate Christians." And so God heard his prayer, and then God healed her problem. God answered Isaac's prayer. God healed her problem, Rebecca's problem. Notice the last statement in verse 21, "And Rebecca, his wife, conceived." Can you imagine the joy that she had as she ran out and found her husband and told her, "Guess what? God has answered our prayers. We are going to have a child. God has blessed us with this great blessing." And I believe that as a church, the same results can be for us. And as individuals, the same thing can happen to us. I ask you today, do you want to have a baby? Do you want to have spiritual children? Are you willing to pray and ask God to let this happen? Now, I believe that if we're serious about this, and we need to be, and I believe if we are serious about this and we ask God to let this happen, then we can start preparing for the shower, a baby shower, because God is going to answer that prayer. You know, God wants you to have a spiritual child even more than you want a spiritual child. God wants newborn Christians even more than we want newborn Christians. And my prayer and my cry is, God, let's have some spiritual babies in this church. Let's let them come. Let us have the opportunity of bringing them into the spiritual world and raising and nurturing them for your honor and for your glory. Does that mean that things are going to be different? Yeah, it does. And I wonder sometimes, does God withhold the blessing because we're really not ready? We're not excited about that. I mean, when you bring a child into your home, a baby, it requires a lot of work, doesn't it? There's sleepless nights. There's the colic. And there's all of these things that go with it. Feeding it, changing its diapers. It's helpless without mom and dad. And so it's a big task. And for the church, it's a big task too, because they don't come spiritually mature. They come as spiritual infants, spiritual babes, who need the milk of the word. But I don't know about you, but that's what I want. And I know this is a different kind of Mother's Day message this morning, but it's the cry of my heart. God, give me a child. God, give our church some new babies, some spiritual children. Would you join with me in prayer with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? If you're serious about this morning, just right where you're at, could you just tell God, God, give me a spiritual baby. Give me a spiritual baby. God, give our church some spiritual babies. If you're here today and you're not yet one who has given their life to Christ, you've not been what the Bible terms born again, that this could be the next great event of your life. And if you're here today and you find that you have not been born again, you've not asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you from your sins and let you be born anew, that can happen right where you're sitting this morning. Lord, I confess that I have sinned. I believe that Jesus died for me.
I confess him as Savior this morning. Help me to be born again in my spirit. If you're praying that prayer this morning, that's what God does. He's answering that prayer, letting you be born again. Not the physical birth, but the spiritual birth. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the privilege of being fruitful and bearing spiritual children for you. Lord, we pray that you would give us spiritual babies. Lord, that we can disciple as individuals, that we can disciple as a church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.